Good evening. Good evening. Welcome to Summerlink. My name is Charlie Screen. I'm the student minister here and really glad to welcome particularly new people. I've been away for a couple of weeks, so if you're new, you've been around on Sunday since that time, I won't have met you, but please do come and introduce yourself afterwards. I hope that the people on your table have been friendly and welcoming. They are probably best placed to explain everything there is to know about St Helens. We'd love to have your details just so that we can let you know, particularly as September gets underway. We do some welcome things for new people. We'd love to let you know about those and invite you to them. So please do put on there. The reason the third column is there, where you live, work, study, again, is we do particular separate things for students. And also, we have lots of people here who work in London and meet up during the week near their places of work. So we'd love to know roughly where you work, and we could put you in touch with other people in the church around there. Let me tell you one other thing. There are some welcome lunches planned. One of them is on the 10th of August, which I think is this Sunday. I'm pretty sure that's right. And Phil and Innes, are they here? Someone's seen Phil and Innes. They're not here. But we, in faith, trust they will be cooking food on the 10th. Down in Bow, would love to meet you and give you lunch. So if you're new, which means, I guess, if you've arrived at St Helens any time over the summer period, then they'd love to give you lunch. And I can give you their email address so you can get along to their house for lunch. Ollie Hallett is going to be leading us through our subject this evening. We've been looking at, week by week, different topics around building the church. And this evening we're looking at discipling people builds the church. Ollie is full-time here on the city team, working with the Tuesday and Thursday lunchtime congregations that meet here. Really, the heart of St Helens is business people who work a stone's throw around this area who come in here midweek lunchtimes. And if you work in the city, Ollie would love to speak to you afterwards, tell you some more about that. So I'm going to hand over to him in just a second. Let me lead us in prayer, and then I'll hand over to Ollie. Father God, we praise you that it is your plan that the Lord Jesus Christ would be head over all things for the church, and that in the time until he returns, you are displaying the wonders of your glory on earth through the church. Father, please lift our thoughts from our normal days to what you are doing in your great building work of building a people fit for your Son. And Father, pray you'd help us as we think together, help Ollie as he teaches us, as we think about how discipling people, discipling each other, works with you in building the church. Lord, give us hearts willing to be taught. Give us a willingness to join in with your great work here on earth. We ask you to give us that in your Son's name for his glory. Amen.
Well, good evening, and let me add my welcome to Charlie's. Let me just echo what he said. So I work on the city team. We exist to try and reach people who work around this area with the good news of Jesus. So if you've recently moved to a job nearby, please do come and say hello at the end. So our Summerlink series is Building the Church. And as we think about building the church week by week, we absolutely need tonight's topic. We absolutely need this week. On your tables, you'll find a handout like this. Do grab that. It'll help you to follow where we're going. It's got some questions and discussion on it, that sort of thing. But you'll see there, point one. This week, in fact, I think, is essential. And this evening's topic, as Charlie said, is discipling people builds the church. And it's absolutely vital that we don't miss out this stage as we think about building the church. Of course, in one sense, every week so far has been essential. So let me explain what I mean. So far in the series, we've seen that God builds his church by his word and through our prayers. In future weeks, we're going to be thinking about different things that we do that help build the church. There's a week on serving, there's a week on music, there's a week on evangelism. But if we missed out this week, tonight's topic, We could be in danger of thinking that those other things, those activities, are what the church is ultimately about. So we'll be praying that our evangelism will grow, and we hope it will, but that is not what church is about. As God's word is taught, we pray that our serving will grow, but that's not what church is about. We could hope that we get some quality music students turning up in September, and the music gets even better, but that isn't what church is about. Because ultimately, at heart, church is about people. That's why this week is essential. Discipling people builds the church. Because church is people, not something else. We've mentioned previously in this series that when we speak about church, we're talking about what the Bible calls church, not what our culture calls church. So we're talking about a gathering of God's people, not a building or a denomination or something else. And I guess that won't be news to lots of us. But we do still need to start here. Because if we're not clear what the church is, then we'll end up building the wrong thing. Even if we know, we've heard lots of times that church isn't about a building or a denomination, I reckon there's still other things that we'll be in danger of focusing on instead of putting people always at the centre. Before we get to that, just look down at the verses on the sheet. These are the ones that Andrew used in week one. So hopefully they're familiar if you've been around. And just notice what church actually is. So first, 1 Peter 2, verse 9. You're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession. Verse 10, once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. So what is the church? Peter describes the church as a race, a priesthood, a nation, a people. The church is people. Or how does Jesus pray in John 17? I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their words. So what is the church? People who believe in Jesus through the apostles' words. And in Acts 2, the other verse Andrew used, so those who received his word were baptized, and they were added that day about 3,000 souls. So again, what is the church in Acts? Souls, people who had received the Apostle Peter's words. So the church is people. It's a simple point. You may well have known that already before we came. But getting this clear makes all the difference to what we think building a church means. Even if we've taken on board what this series has said so far, that God builds the church by his words, through our prayers. Even if we believe all that, if we don't keep our focus on people, we'll misdirect our energies. So just to see that, let's think about the alternatives. Imagine we thought that at heart, church was buildings. Lots of people do. That's how the word's commonly used. We could think that God's word is the inspiration behind magnificent architecture. We could pray earnestly for more church buildings to be founded and for existing ones not to be turned into flats. We could believe the power of God's word and prayer, but still be barking up the wrong tree. If we thought church was about buildings, our priority for finance would be making our buildings look wonderful and always improving them. It would always be the biggest topic at the prayer supper. We'd measure success in things like awards from English Heritage and the number of tourists who came in the building and the kind of ambience we created. Open house would be the highlight of the year, of course. Or imagine we thought that the church was the denomination. Lots of people in the Church of England will think that. Again, we could pray for it. We could believe that God's word does his work. But end up putting all our energy into keeping the peace in the denomination and prioritising that over other things. We'd measure success in a number of kind of diocese initiatives we were involved in. Or imagine we thought church was all about the events that we ran. Though maybe we don't need to imagine quite so hard with that, because that may be nearer to what we actually think. We'd put all our energies into running small group Bible study evenings. We'd put on guest events. We'd organise rota so all the jobs are done at our weekly meetings. We'd take encouragement or discouragement from the number of people that came. Or what about this one? Maybe an increasingly potential distraction. We could think that church is all about our online presence. On our website and social media. We'd put all our energies into making things look as slick as possible and get as much coverage as we could. We'd measure success in the kind of volume of traffic on the website and how high we were on the Google search results, and maybe even in the number of downloads. Now, of course, all those things have their place. We look after our buildings. They're useful, particularly in winter. We get involved in some of the things the denomination does and benefit from it. We run events. We're thrilled when they go well. And we put lots into the website and we give thanks when people use it. But at heart, church is none of those things. Church is people. And being a person myself, you can probably relate to that. You can see why people are much more difficult. Buildings don't talk to you. And denominations don't invite themselves around when you're busy. Events go away once they're done that week or that year. And you can turn off computers, thankfully, sometimes. You can see why making church about any of those other things could be appealing. But the key thing to get clear as we start this evening is that church is people. Let's break now for some time discussing this around tables. And feel free to talk about anything we've just covered. But there are some questions there in the grey box on your sheet, which may help direct you. Let's turn in groups for about 6 or 7 minutes or so. Let me draw us back together there. And then the second big thing I want us to see, point two on the handout, is why this week is for you. So it's essential, but it's also for you. I'm talking to all of us there. One danger with a kind of largest church like this one is that the staff and the apprentices and associates can end up doing almost everything. In a smaller church, you wouldn't have that problem, but that just isn't the way that God wants things to be. And it seriously limits how effectively we as a whole church can play our part under God in building the church. We've seen each week so far that building the church is God's job, and that is still true this week, don't get me wrong. But as we saw last week with prayer, we have a role to play. We don't just lie back and put our feet up. Instead, amazingly, as we saw last week, God has given us a role in praying for the church to be built. Through our prayers, God builds the church. Do listen to last week's recording if you weren't here. But this week, Jesus wants to add something else to the role each one of us has to play in building the church. This evening, our title is Discipling People Builds the Church. And point to you, this week is for you because discipling people is every Christian's job. It's not just the preserve of a few, and it's certainly not just the preserve of church staff and associates. Turn in your Bibles to page 1007 to Matthew 28. So page 1007 and Matthew chapter 28, and I'll read from verse 16. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, to the end of the age." So familiar words, I guess, to lots of us. And this is Jesus after he's been raised from the dead, before he returns to God, speaking to his disciples. First, if you look down verse 18, he reminds them who he is. He has all authority in heaven and earth. He is utterly unique. There is no man or woman who is his equal. He has all authority everywhere, always. So Jesus never faces a border where his power doesn't reach over. He never strays into someone else's jurisdiction. He never steps on anyone else's toes. He never has to get approval for anything. On that basis, he gives his disciples their mission, verse 19, to go and make disciples of all nations. In that command, the making disciples is the main action rather than the going. So it could read something like, "As you go, make disciples. The emphasis isn't so much on the going, but on what you do wherever you go. So while it includes going to the ends of the earth, as Jesus says, going to places where we have mission partners like Africa or Asia, it also includes wherever we find ourselves. So as you go to your office, as you go home at night, as you go on holiday, perhaps, if you're lucky, as you go, make disciples. But what does making disciples mean? We'll look at the rest of verse 19. First, disciples are to be baptized into the name of the Father, Son, and Spirit, identifying themselves as one of Jesus' people, a sign of the repentance, the washing, and the new life that he brings. And then verse 20, new disciples are to be taught to follow everything Jesus commanded his first disciples. And so just think about that for a moment. Do you see the brilliant multiplying nature of this? What Jesus taught his first disciples includes this command to teach others. And so that as they go and make new disciples, they will be teaching these new disciples to teach others. And on and on and on, until as today, we find disciples of Jesus all over the world. And that means that if you're a disciple of Jesus, discipling other people is your job. Here's how Don Carson puts it. It is binding on all Jesus' disciples to make others what they themselves are, disciples of Jesus Christ. So the question is not, are you a full-time church worker? Have you signed up for the associate scheme? Are you a small group leader? And if so, discipling people is your job. No, the question is simply, are you a disciple of Jesus? If so, discipling people is already your job. It's part of following everything that Jesus commanded his very first disciples. We'll think more about exactly what discipling people actually involves later. But notice here that discipling people includes sharing Jesus' teaching both with those who don't yet follow him, what we call evangelism normally, and with those who are Christians, what we might call discipleship. So as we go, wherever we go, this is our mission. So as you're at church on a Sunday or midweek, and mainly seeing Christians probably, your job is to help make disciples. As you go to work, and perhaps it's mainly people who aren't Christians, your job is still to make disciples. It will mean different things exactly in different contexts. But if you're a disciple of Jesus, wherever you are, making and growing other disciples is your job. Now, I was thinking about that, saying it's your job. I have to admit that discipling people is literally in my job description. So that's quite easy. I'm employed by the church. Part of that is to make disciples, to teach people who aren't Christians about Jesus, and to grow people who are already. And unless you work for a church or other Christian organisation, I'd be seriously surprised if your employers put it in your job description. But it might be helpful to think as if it is. After all, Jesus said it's part of your responsibility, and he trumps your employer every time. So as you wake up in the morning and think about what you need to do that day, maybe the work is starting to weigh on your mind already, somewhere near the top of your list, make a mental note that today your responsibility is to help make disciples. Maybe as you think about where you're going to go on holiday and what you're going to do and who you're going to see, make a mental note. While I'm there, Jesus has given me the job of making disciples. Now, of course, this will look different for everyone. We all have different opportunities. We all know different people. We all have different time available. But we have all been given the same overall mission, to make disciples. Whether your particular opportunities are mainly with Christians or with non-Christians, whether you can do something every week or just occasionally, whether you can do it in a big group or just with one other person, being Jesus' disciples means that our job, all of our jobs, is to disciple others. So just think about some of the things we've been doing at this church. This thinking is behind the drive there's been recently to make evangelism less reliant on big central events, and more about each one of us being able to share the good news of Jesus with friends through something like the Word One-to-One notes. It's this kind of thinking that means we encourage over the summer, particularly, but all year round, just for it to be normal to, say, meet up with some other Christians and pray together, or meet up with a younger Christian, you know, to look at the Bible with them, or whatever it might look like for you. And the brilliant thing is that it will look different for all of us, as I've said. So let's now turn in our tables, and for the next 10 minutes or so, just discuss the next couple of questions and have a think about what it might look like for you. Let me bring us back together there. So from what we've seen so far, hopefully you're thinking, yeah, I can see that the church is people. That's okay. And I can see that Jesus is saying it's my job to help make disciples. But that just sounds like a really big ask. I mean, church staff and associates, they get lots of training. And maybe the small group leaders, they're quite good at it. It's okay for them, but I'm just not cut out to make disciples. I wouldn't know where to start. I wouldn't know what to do, what to say. And I guess, again, this is particularly a danger for us here. Because as a church, rightly, I think we've got to focus on training people for ministry. So thirdly, I want us to see that in one sense, discipling people is simple. In the sense that any of us who are Christians are able to do it. It's not beyond us. It's something we can do. Not only has each of us been given this job by Jesus, but it's a job that we are able to do. As I was preparing this, it struck me that I don't often think of myself as a disciple. I don't know about you. I call myself a Christian, maybe even a kind of follower of Jesus, but almost never as a disciple. Even though when I looked at it a bit more, the word disciple is used hundreds of times in the New Testament, and the word Christian is used just 3 times. A disciple is like a pupil to a teacher, or like an apprentice to a craftsman. And the nearest equivalent for us might be something like a student. We are students of Jesus. Sure, as we saw last week, Jesus calls us his friends. Elsewhere, he calls us brothers. And we don't want to lose that kind of relational aspect. Okay, it's getting a bit complicated, all these different pictures. But if it helps us, picture us all there, kind of in the classroom, in the seminar, all of us sitting around, listening to Jesus teach us. Fellow disciples, learning to follow him. Look back to Matthew 28, if you've closed it, it's page 1007. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 20. Again, disciples are made by being taught to observe what Jesus commanded these first disciples. And therefore, discipling someone is simply helping them to follow Jesus. To learn what he teaches and to obey it, to observe it in their life. In one sense, that's all there is to it. Nothing more complicated. That's what I want us to see. In one sense, this is simple. This is manageable. It's something we can do. It's within reach. So helping to disciple someone may simply involve sharing with another disciple an aspect of Jesus' teaching that you've been thinking about. Or opening up the Bible with another Christian and reading what some of Jesus' apostles wrote. It may be encouraging another Christian to put into practice in a particular situation what they know Jesus teaches. Or perhaps warning another disciple of the danger of hearing Jesus' words but not doing them. And wonderfully, we can all do this. Whether you've been a disciple of Jesus a few days or a few decades, if you're following Jesus, you'll know something of his teaching. So you've got something to share with others. If you're a disciple, you'll be trying to put his words into practice in your own life. And so you'll have experiences and challenges that you can share with other disciples. Again, as I said, Matthew 28 isn't just about making new converts. If disciples are students of Jesus, people learning his teaching and following it, then discipling people means helping shape every area of our lives to make us more and more like Jesus. And this means it's something that we can all immediately get involved in. You don't have to be given a special role or title. You don't even have to have any specific training or been on a course for it. You just need to know Jesus and be following him yourself. Now, of course, getting trained and equipped and that kind of stuff makes sense if you can. The better you know Jesus' teaching, the more you can share it with others. But just being disciples ourselves is more than enough to start getting involved. For an example, turn to page 1118 and Acts chapter 18. So page 1118 and Acts chapter 18. Just see one example of this. Disciples of Jesus are simply helping another disciple to follow Jesus and his teaching. Page 1118, and I'll read from verse 24. Sorry, maybe 1117. There we go. Verse 24. Now a Jew named Apollos, and a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was an eloquent man, competent in the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord. And being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things concerning Jesus, though he knew only the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue, but when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And when he wished to cross to Achaia, the brothers encouraged him and wrote to the disciples to welcome him. When he arrived, he greatly helped those who through grace had believed, for he powerfully refuted the Jews in public, showing by the scriptures that the Christ was Jesus. So flip back to verse 25. Apollos, this guy, knows something about Jesus. He speaks and he teaches accurately. But Luke says he knew only the baptism of John. So there's something that he hasn't quite grasped. There's more that he needs to learn. And so this couple, Priscilla and Aquila, who are just ordinary Christians, fellow disciples, verse 26, they take him aside and they explain to him Jesus and his way more clearly. And then Apollos goes on his way, and he's a huge blessing as he passes on what he's learnt to others. This same kind of multiplying sequence in action, disciples passing on to others, who then pass on to others still. And just notice the exciting potential of discipling others. And Priscilla and Aquila, they may not have realised, anticipated the impact that their small conversations, perhaps, with this one guy were going to have. As he moves on to the next place, look at the end of verse 27. When he arrives, he's a huge help to the Christians in that place. And verse 28, he has a huge, great impact publicly as speaking for Jesus to those who don't know him. So as well as seeing it as something we can do, let's be excited by the potential for this. And maybe you'll just have a few conversations with someone. And maybe you'll just meet up a couple of times. Maybe you'll just even pray with someone or say something on an occasion. Who knows how the Lord will use that and use them and the part you've played in future. I think it's quite exciting seeing Apollos being set to work here. And that's just one example from Acts to illustrate what I've been saying. But again, this will look different for all of us. So again, let's turn in our groups and discuss the next couple of questions for the next few minutes. Let me draw us back together there. In a moment, we'll turn to pray in our groups. But as we close, just a final thought. What we've been thinking about this evening is urgent. Why discipling people is not just a job we've been given to think about at some point in the future. Why it's not something we can do. Why it's not just something we can do if we want. But also why it's a pressing need. Obviously, Jesus commands it, and that makes it urgent. But turn to Ephesians chapter 4, page 1176. It's page 1176 and Ephesians chapter 4. It's a passage we've looked at a couple of times in this series already, so we're not going to spend too much time thinking about it. Ephesians chapter 4, page 1176. Just in passing, first of all, note what we've seen already this evening, that building the body is everyone's job. Look down to verse 11. Jesus gave these people, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, to equip the saints for the work of ministry. It's not just the pastors and teachers who build the church. They're there to equip the saints for this work. And then glance down to verse 16 at the end. Middle of verse 16, when each part is working properly, the body grows, so it builds itself up. So just in passing, see that same thing that we saw in Matthew 28. Everyone has this job. But then second, just see how much is at stake. How much do we need to play our part in building the church? Verse 14, we need to do it so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. So Paul sort of merges two images there. Firstly, it's urgent because we need to grow up. That's the first thing he says. I've got two small children, and I think being a kid is pretty fun. But it's not a very good place to stay because it makes you quite vulnerable. So my youngest daughter needs to grow up so that every time her big sister leans on her or tries to help her, she doesn't fall flat on her face. But then the second part of the image is of a small boat on a rough sea, tossed back and forth by wind and waves, unable to control itself. Again, a dangerous, vulnerable place to be. Building a body is a pressing need. And I guess this is important because I guess your life feels like it's full of pressing things. If you just moved to London, there is so much you could do here. But giving yourself to building the church up, should be up there. It's an urgent need. Perhaps you've been around for several years already. Well, over the next few months, we pray that many are going to join us here. New students coming to university, people just graduated, starting jobs. Many of them will be young Christians, easily blown around by every wind of doctrine that London could throw at them. Again, why not give yourself to helping build the church by discipling others? Find someone who's new. There's an urgent need. So if you're a disciple, Jesus has given you the job of discipling others. And if you're a disciple yourself, and this is a job that you are able to do, and the task is urgent. So as we leave, as we finish, let's take some steps to put into action some of the things we've been thinking about this evening, some of the things we've talked through, hopefully. We've got time to pray, but then as we finish, even afterwards, as we talk together, let's talk about what we could do to help disciple others. Maybe think about who you could help disciple, whether a younger Christian in your small group, maybe someone who you've just met this evening, maybe a new work colleague you could introduce to Jesus to. And finally, just to mention, at the bottom of your sheets, there are two resources to help disciple others on a one-to-one basis. I'd really recommend having a look at those. Let's now turn to pray around our tables. Pray in response to what God said to us this evening. Pray for the specific part we can play. And then maybe if you want to do other things, share things to pray for, things going on this week, things in the news, whatever you want. Spend some time praying, and then Charlie will come up to close.
Can I ask you to begin looking around this way, please? And thank you very much for being here this evening. I'm not going to take very long at all because I assume you all want to begin discipling each other straight away. I read about one church where it is just normal that everybody is meeting once a week with somebody who is a more mature Christian than them and somebody who is a less mature Christian than them. So just everybody's diary, they're having those two meetings every week, every single person in the church. Just think what a different culture that would be if we were all thinking, how can we be being used like that? A few things to say. The forms for open house are there, and for new people, please use those. On your way out, there are prayer diaries to help you pray each day for things happening at the church, and also a summer-only prayer diary that tells you about people on summer camps and things like that, where they are and who to pray for. And normally, a group stays in here to keep talking. I hope lots of people do that. Often there's a group that heads off to a pub to keep talking. Is anyone planning to do that and willing to invite other people to join you to do that? No one. No one prepared. Why not round your table, think of doing that, Pubs are normally shut near, but often if you go near the station, they're still open. And then we'd love to see you on Sunday, so 10:30 in the morning in here, 2:30 if you speak Mandarin, and then 4 o'clock and 6 o'clock. Again, we'd love to see you on a Sunday. And do bring other, particularly if you're new in London, you know other people who are new in London, do bring them along as well. It'd be great if you could help clear up as we go. So Bibles want to go to the back, rubbish would love to go in the bins, and these forms filled in with your name would love to come here at the front. And there are sprays here you can use to clean the tables as well. Thank you very much.